Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked.
Well, friends, good afternoon. So we say good afternoon, Father. All right, this is a participation kind of thing here. Okay. Well, friends, my name is Father Patrick Schultz. I grew up in this parish. I grew up with the Buckleys, and I've been so privileged to. I was telling a friend yesterday as I was driving home from the rehearsal. One of the fun things about being a priest is when you get to be a priest for multiple things within a family, right? You get to marry this person, baptize this person's kid, and with all within the same family. It's fun to be able to celebrate all these sacraments, you know, with the Buckleys and now this extended family here with the Pollards, right? How cool is this? So I'm just really honored to be here today, and it's been a joy to walk with you guys over these past many months doing marriage prep, doing it remotely, this sort of digital form. That's been an interesting experiment. I think it turned out well, though. We'll find out. No, it's been a gift, a privilege to walk with you guys, and it's just so. I mean, what a beautiful day the Lord gave us. This is the day the Lord has made, and it's all the reason to rejoice and be glad. And this day, though, right, while all the cameras are on you, all the eyes are on you, right? You guys look great. Sarah, you look beautiful coming down the aisle. Mitchell, I didn't think you looked, you don't look too bad yourself today, right? Zelly did a pretty darn good job capturing your likeness in the program. I think so. My goddaughter Zelly there, drawing them in the program. So this day, yes, of course, everyone's got their eyes on you, right? And that's right, and that makes sense. But this day is so much bigger than you. It's so much bigger than you. Because today's about what God is doing, right? God, who's the author of providence, God's one who brought you into each other's lives for this moment to make visible in this world a kind of love that this world doesn't know, right? Namely, that love. That's why you're getting married here. That's why you're getting married in front of this altar, because you're coming to lay your lives down. You're coming to sacrifice, right? That's what an altar is. It's a place where something goes to die. You're bringing your former life to the church today, saying, I want to be me no longer, right? You're laying your I down upon this altar so that you can arise as a we. You're bringing into this world now a ray of God's triune love. You're becoming a sacrament is what's happening today. You're not just receiving a sacrament, you're becoming a sacrament. Right? You're becoming a perpetual sign in this world. That's what the sacraments are, right? All the sacraments that we have in the Catholic Church, they are signs that both point to and participate in the reality that they signify. Right? That's what a sign does. It points to a reality beyond itself, right? So like we all walked in past the baptismal font. When infants are baptized in that water, the external sign, right? Baby's head getting wet, the candle, the oil, the gown, all that stuff. It's a sign of actual spiritual regeneration, that this child is becoming literally, not just symbolically, not just metaphorically, but quite literally a child of God, cleansed of original sin, a temple of the Holy Spirit. So the sign that you are becoming is a sign of God's love in the world. Another way we can say that is you're becoming a sign of the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest love story. It's the original, the OG love story. It's the only love story that there really is. Every other love story, all of our love stories, all of our ballads and songs and poems and movies and rom-coms, they're all just derivative of the great love story. It's the drama of God's love for humanity. Like, I don't know what you grew up with understanding about God, but here's the deepest truth. The deepest truth, the deepest desire in God's heart is this. He desires a kind of relationship with you that the least inadequate analogy to explain what this relationship is like, it's that of married love. God's deepest desire is a union. It's not just a mere desire for personal relationship, not just mere friendship. It's a kind of union that the least adequate approximation is what you two are entering into today. I come to give you everything that I have. My whole self, not just my mind, not just some of my time, not just some of my possessions. I come to give you everything that I possess, to give it to you and to receive you as a gift. That, friends, that is the desire in God's heart. We see that desire revealed in married love, and we see it revealed in the scriptures that you chose for your wedding mass. Right from the very beginning, that reading from Genesis and the gospel that we have where Jesus quotes Genesis, right? Good job doing that, by the way. That was a good choice, right? Mitchell, was that your choice? Naturally. Okay. But we see this it's replete throughout the entirety of the scriptures, that from beginning to end, the scriptures are telling this one grand cosmic love story. It's this rescue mission and a love story. That from the beginning, God makes them male and female. God is the one who's the author of all being, all creation, right? He's creating all these beautiful things. And then at the culmination of this, he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Up to this point, God's just saying, let there be light. And there's light. Let the waters come forth. They come forth. But then there's this moment, this shift in the text where God, it's like the Trinity, the persons of the Trinity have this conversation amongst themselves. Are we going to take the risk to create a creature, a free creature, that can both give and receive and reject love? A creature in our image, after our likeness, a creature that will incarnate, will make visible, tangible God's self-giving, loving nature. And he makes the male and female, right? And calls the two to become one flesh, so that when the two become one flesh, they become so much one flesh that sometimes 9 months later you have to give it a name, right? And then they become three in one, just like our God is three in one. Right from the very beginning, God created us male and female to be a sign of the kind of relationship he has with humanity. Right? God is the creator of everything, the bridegroom God, and we are his beloved, his bride, created to receive all of this exorbitant love. That was the original plan, but the original plan didn't stay in place for very long because there's an enemy who enters into this plan to divide. Right? We call him the devil. Right? We're talking about the devil at a wedding. It's important, though. The name devil comes from the Greek diabolein, diabolic, which means the scatterer, the one who divides. Like after you pronounce your vows, I will say, what God has joined together, let no one put asunder, let no one divide. In other words, do not give the enemy, the divider, room in your life to separate what God has joined together. But there is an enemy. Don't make any doubts about that. There is an enemy who went to war against us, the creature that God loves the most. And there's this great divorce that happens, but God in his great love and mercy comes after humanity to restore this relationship. All throughout the Old Testament, that's what God is doing. He's saying, I want to restore this relationship. It culminates in the fullness of time when God sends his son, right? God himself takes on flesh, that in his very person, Jesus is true God and true man. He is the marriage of heaven and earth. His very first miracle, he could have done anything, at any point, doing anything. And he chose, as his very first miracle, to multiply, turn water into wine at a wedding feast, manifesting his identity as the divine bridegroom. At the culmination of his life, right, he goes to the cross, he spends himself, he's crucified. And at the culminating moment, he says, we hear it in English, we heard it on Good Friday, it is finished. But Jesus didn't speak English. When St. Jerome, who translated the Bible from the Greek into the Latin, he translated that as consummatum est. It is consummated. That the marriage between heaven and earth is consummated, that Christ comes to pour himself out. Like, friends, that is what true love looks like. Like, as you guys say your vows, you're coming to say and do what he did. That's why he's in the background. That's why you're doing this in front of an altar. This is what true love looks like. And that is exactly why that in the heart of every person who's ever fallen in love, there comes a moment where all you want to do is lay your life down for the beloved. I don't just simply want to give you more time. I want to give you everything that I have to give you. I want to be completely spent, drained of everything, poured out to you. All of our love stories, all of your marriages, those of you who are married, all of your marriages are meant to point to and reveal that kind of love in this world, a love that the world doesn't understand, a love that bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things, that endures all things, a love that doesn't fail. Like, as Catholics, we remain in the world like the last hopeless romantics. The ones who believe, we believe that two people can fall in love and stay in love. Despite all the hardship, despite the crosses, and despite the suffering. Because love isn't primarily about passing feelings. It's about the sincere gift that I am intending to make through my will to you. We're these crazy, hopeless romantics that believe that this kind of crazy love is possible. The world needs this witness. That's what you guys are going to become a sign of. And in a moment, as I've been referencing, you're going to come and to stand in front of this altar to pronounce vows to each other. You're going to pronounce these vows to each other. And one of the things that we will hear you say in those sacred words, you will say, I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. I've been contemplating these vows. Like, as a priest, I didn't say, wedding vows, obviously. But I have the privilege of witnessing them. And they are powerful words. I had Mitchell and Sarah memorize their vows. I'm not prompting them. I told them if they go blank, I'll help them. But these words are the most sacred words. These are the most powerful words you're going to speak. These are the words that confer the sacrament upon each other. These are the words that are going to change the rest of your life. They're big time words. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. I just want to reflect for just a few moments more on that word honor. It's really significant. First, for you two, Mitchell and Sarah, who are about to be wed, and for all of you who are here who are already married, like, do you realize what an honor it is to have been given this person? Do you realize what an honor it is to be espoused to this person? Like it is such an honor. It's such a privilege. It's such a gift to be yours and for you to be mine. Like, the current world population, I did, extensive Google searching. It took me about 3 seconds. Current world population estimates put the population about 8.1 billion people. That's a lot of people. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of other people. Right? And out of all of those people, like, the person you're marrying today chose you. Like, Jesus is the one who says, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. Like, yes, you are choosing each other, but in a mystical, mysterious, deep way, the Lord, who is the Lord of providence, chose you for each other. Like, change any one detail of your lives, and you would have missed each other. But the Lord brought you into each other's world. Like, and what you're saying to each other by being here, and those of you who are married, what you are essentially saying to your spouse is like, all of those other people, all those other 8.1 billion other people, yeah, they're fine and great, I'm sure. But I'm fascinated by you. Like, I know there is treasure in you that I want to spend the rest of my life finding. I am fascinated and riveted by you. You have stolen my heart. You have captured my mind. Like, you're saying to each other, God, he is your gift to me. She is your gift to me. St. John Paul II, who's one of my great heroes, he wrote this beautiful little reflection that was only recently discovered within the last decade or two, called A Meditation on Givenness. A Meditation on Givenness. It's this beautiful little essay where he talks about how we are given to each other, not as a task. You are given to each other, not as a task, not as like a fixer-upper. You're given to each other as a gift, bestowed on each other as a gift, this entrustment. Like, Mitchell, today God is giving you Sarah. And I bet your heart felt that in an extraordinary way as those doors opened. And Sarah, I bet your heart felt that as an extraordinary way as you looked up the aisle and saw him there. This tunnel vision settling in, right? God, I can't believe you're giving me this person. He's giving you each other so that you might experience this endless awe and wonder at the mystery of another person, and that you might experience endless awe and wonder at the goodness of yourself, that someone would find you that delightful, that you are in fact lovable, because more and more, all of your imperfections and your most unlovable qualities will be fully on display. Those of you who are married, you know this is true. Like, you're not gonna look this beautiful every single day. Mitchell, you get to tell him that that's not true. You'll experience this shock as your worst parts are on full display and you can't hide. You'll experience this shock. Like, you mean you still love me? You mean you want me? You prefer me? You still find me beautiful? You still find me desirable? You still choose me? Like, to love and to honor each other is to have reverence for each other. To reverence each other. Because here's the thing. Ever since that fateful day in the garden where we entered into rebellion against God and we hid ourselves out of shame, the human family, the human heart has been plagued with the fear that there are parts of us, that if they were all to be seen, like, some of them would disqualify us. Like, if I was really seen, if I was really known, warts and all, no mask, completely stripped, if I was really seen through and through, certainly there's a part of me, there's parts of my story, parts of my heart that are a liability to love. And what you get to experience in matrimony is, it's like this, it's the sacrament of divine mercy. I always find, when I get to do weddings at St. Mary's, I always find it so beautiful that you enter and exit the church under the image of divine mercy on the back wall. Like this car wash of divine mercy preparing you for this moment. Divine mercy is not God saying, okay, I'll let this one slide. It's God's absurd predilection for loving us at our worst, loving us at our most unlovable. And you will have embodied in each other this love that says, yes, there are parts of you that are very unimpressive and very hard to love, but I still choose to love you. You are through and through lovable. In marriage, friends, right, you go on this journey of coming out from all of your interior hiding places. And it's a painful journey because we spend a whole life, we develop all of these habits, this whole lifetime of reserve, hiding ourselves, minimizing this thing, putting the masks on, right? Our first parents did the fig leaves, and we have lots of fig leaves. The journey of love is the journey of letting the spotlight, the searchlight of the other person's love for you draw you out from hiding. And that's a painful process, to discover your lovability. Friends, this is why it's so important to honor each other's hearts. What you're saying is, I promise I will never belittle your heart. I promise I will never scoff at anything that's in you. I promise that I will reverence all of you. Hearts are the most beautiful thing that God has made. He made the human heart to be his temple, that he might dwell there. Please never be careless with each other's hearts. It's the most precious thing that you're being given in this life. It's each other's hearts. Friends, God has called you and he's brought you to this moment so that you can image his love in this world. He's brought you to this moment so that you can share in his joy, that you can share in his joy. And he's brought you to this moment so that you can give and receive each other as a gift. He's brought you to this moment to give you the grace to love and honor each other all the days of your life. And you'll need the grace. You'll need the grace. Because you're asking Jesus, let us be on the cross with you. Today, he's giving you the cross. If you let go of the cross, you let go of heaven. Do not let go of each other. Do not let go of this cross. And reverence each other's hearts with everything you have. Amen.